Well, good evening. It's good to see you. Thanks for coming along to the meeting tonight. I trust you're not too disappointed by the change of preacher. And I trust as well that we don't steal some of Stuart or Robert's thunder, because we're going to get into John's Gospel tonight as well. And we're going to start in John chapter 7, and we're going to read a few verses in John chapter 7, then a verse in John 9, and then a final few verses in John chapter 10. I don't suppose Stuart's going to get as far as that. He's only got another couple of nights, so I don't suppose he's going to get as far. But there we go, John chapter 7, and we're going to start at verse 37. John 7 and verse 37 says, "In the last day, that great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried, saying, If any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. He that believes in me, as the scriptures have said, out of his belly or out of his inward part shall flow rivers of living water. But this spake he of the Spirit, which they that believe on him should receive. For the Holy Ghost was not yet given, because that Jesus was not yet glorified. And many of the people therefore, when they heard this saying, said, Of a truth, this is the prophet. Others said, This is the Christ. But some said, Shall Christ come out of Galilee? Hath not the scripture saith that Christ cometh of the seed of David, and out of the town of Bethlehem, where David was? So there was a division among the people because of him. And some of them would have taken him, but no man laid hands on him. And then came the officers to the chief priests and Pharisees, and they said to him, Why have you not brought him? The officers answered, Never man spake like this man." Verse 16 of chapter 9. The Lord Jesus has just given sight to a blind man. And there's a wee bit of an uproar because of that. You'd have thought that everybody would have been delighted, but everybody wasn't delighted. And there was a bit of a commotion and a bit of a controversy over the issue. And verse 16 says, "Therefore said some of the Pharisees, This man is not of God, because he keeps not the Sabbath day." He had actually healed this man, and it was the Sabbath, it was the Jewish Sabbath. And according to the law, you weren't allowed to work on the Sabbath. And here was a man, and he had performed a miracle on the Sabbath. And even although he had given a man his sight back, they were still annoyed the fact that he had broken the Sabbath. And others said, "How can a man that is a sinner do such miracles?" And there was a division among them. And then finally, John chapter 10, and we'll read from verse 17. John 10 and verse 17, "Therefore doth my Father love me, says the Lord Jesus." He's already been speaking about himself as being the good shepherd that would lay down his life for the sheep. And he talked about those who were his own, those who had heard his voice and those who were following him, his own, those that had come to know the shepherd. I wonder tonight, have you come to know the shepherd? Have you come to know the Lord Jesus? Has there been that time in your life when you've heard his voice, and that time when you've put your faith in him and you've started to follow him? And so the Lord Jesus has been speaking about himself as the shepherd, the good shepherd that would lay down his life for the sheep. And he says, "Therefore doth my Father love me, because I lay down my life that I might take it again. No man takes it from me, but I lay it down on myself. I have power, I have authority to lay it down, and I have power to take it again. This commandment have I received of my Father." And there was a division therefore again among the Jews for these sayings. And many of them said, "He's got a devil and he's bad. Why do we listen to him?" Others said, "These are not the words of him that has a devil. Can a devil open the eyes of the blind?" And we're sure the Lord will add a blessing to the reading of his word tonight. I think it's quite obvious in the reading that there's the reoccurrence of a little expression. It says there was a division among them. And that division among the people was in relation to the person of the Lord Jesus. Well, notice in John chapter 7, there was a division among the people as to the identity of the Lord Jesus. And there was this controversy as to whether he was the prophet, whether he was the Christ. And if he was the Christ, how come that he didn't come from Bethlehem, although he did come from there? And there was all this confusion and this controversy and this division regarding the identity of the Lord Jesus. They were divided as to who Christ was. But then we'll discover in John chapter 9 that the controversy, the division that took place regarding the Lord Jesus, wasn't so much in relation to his identity, who he was, but it was integrity, what he was. And there were those that said He's just a sinner. He's a lawbreaker. He's a Sabbath breaker. And others said, well, if he's a sinner, how can he do miracles? And if we'd read later on, we would have heard the account of the man who was given back his sight. And he says, if God is not with this man, how can he do these things? How can he do these things? And so there was really a division regarding his integrity, regarding what Christ was. Was he a sinner? Was he a lawbreaker? Or was he truly who he claimed to be? The sinless, spotless Christ of God. And then finally, we notice in John 10, there was a division regarding his authority. The Lord Jesus Christ said, I have authority, I have power to lay down my life. I have the authority to take it up again. And there was a division about that. And people were really saying, how can any man claim to have authority like that? How can any person possibly claim to have power over life and death? Their own life and their own death. And the Lord Jesus Christ made these claims. And there was a division regarding his authority. And you know, tonight there's still a division in relation to Christ, isn't there? There's divisions as to his identity. There's a confusion, there's a controversy among men as to who Christ is. There's also a division amongst men as to his integrity. Was Christ not only who he said he was, but was he what he said he was? Sinless, pure and perfect? And there's also a controversy, there's a division as to his authority. Did he really lay down his life? Did he really take it up again? And people are divided. This community of New Cumnock tonight is divided. This meeting in New Cumnock tonight is divided regarding the identity and the integrity and the authority of Christ. There's always been a division about Christ. There's always been a division. There was really a division about Christ when he was born, wasn't there? You know, it's true that when the Lord Jesus was born, there was a group of shepherds came down the hillside of Judea and they came to seek him and they came to gaze upon him and to worship him. You know, they did that which was unnatural. Have you ever heard of a shepherd leaving his sheep in a barren hillside in the middle of the night to go and do something else? That's really what the shepherds did that night. Such was the news that they received from these great angelic beings. Such was the message that the Saviour was born. And they thought, there's nothing else really matters tonight. We must get in touch with this one. We must gaze it upon. We must get to where he is. And they left aside all that was natural. And they left aside that which had been their first love. And they made the journey down the hillside to see the Saviour. My friend, I want to tell you tonight that if you're really going to come in touch with the Saviour, if you're going to come to an understanding of who he is and what he is and what he has done and what he can do for you, then my friend, you'll need to set aside all that's natural in your life. And your natural affections and your natural pleasures and that which you highly esteem in life, you'll need to set it aside and you'll need to make it your business, as these men made it their business, to get to where the Saviour. My friend, they left aside their sheep and they made the journey down the hill just to where Christ was. Nothing else mattered that night. Nothing else mattered. They must see the Saviour. Whether it may be someone here in the meeting tonight and you would just come to that point in your life right now that nothing else really matters. And that you'll determine in your heart right now that you'll seek Christ until you find him. You'll seek. But you know, there wasn't only shepherds identified with the birth of the Lord Jesus. There was wise men associated with his birth. Matthew will tell us that. Luke will tell us about the shepherds. Matthew will tell us about the wise men. And they come from a far country. And they come bearing their gifts. And they're coming to Christ. It's interesting, the Bible tells us they were wise men. You see, it is wise men. And it is wise women. And it's wise young people that come to the Saviour. The Lord Jesus speaks about the foolish, doesn't he? The Lord Jesus spoke about a man one day and the voice from heaven comes to him, man, you're a fool. What was his problem? The reason he was a fool was the fact that he had left God out of his life. He'd left Christ out of his life. He didn't really place the importance on spiritual things. All he was interested in was that was natural and that which was commercial and that which was tangible. He was living for this life and he forgot about God and he forgot about his soul and he forgot about eternity. And God says, man, you're a fool. The tragedy is you come in East Ayrshire tonight is full of fools. Men and women that just live for the moment. Men and women that live for time, that live for pleasure, that live for their business, that live for self. And they've got no real thought about God. And no thought about their soul and where their soul will be for eternity. My friend, don't be a fool tonight. But be like the wise men. And be like the shepherds and the hills of Judea. My friend, come tonight and seek the Saviour. Make it your business. Make it the priority in life. To seek Christ until you find Him. Until you come to know Him as your Lord and your Saviour and your friend. But you know, it wasn't everybody that was happy about the birth of Christ. Wasn't everybody? There was a king. There was a king in Judea who was angry, who was wrathful. He was jealous, he was envious. He was bitter and his name was Herod. And he ordered the slaying of every child under two. Because he wanted the Christ child. He wanted them slaughtered at the very birth. My friend, that Herod was really just a picture of the... He's usually a picture of the one that wants to do everything in his power to keep you back from Christ. You see, Herod didn't want Christ growing up in Bethlehem. Herod didn't want Christ emerging in Judea and telling people that he was the Messiah, he was the sent one of God, he was the Saviour. And Herod would do everything he can to cut him off. He didn't want people to come to know this man. My friend, I want to tell you, Satan doesn't want people to come to know Christ. Satan doesn't want you to come to know Him tonight. He doesn't want you to come to trust in Him. And my friend, Satan will do all that he can just to keep men away from the person of Christ. My friend, Christ is the answer to your need tonight. My friend, and Christ has been preached every night from this little platform, and it'll be preached tonight, and he'll be preached right through the week. My friend, he's the only Saviour for sinners. He's the only Saviour. And my friend, I want to ask you, I want to plead with you tonight to make it your business, make it a priority tonight to seek Christ until you find Him. And there was a division at His birth. And there were those that sought Him, and there were those that sought to kill Him. My friend, I wonder, are you seeking Christ tonight? Is that why you're here? Are you just here to please somebody? Are you just here out of habit because you're just in the habit of coming? Or I wonder, are you really here seeking Christ? The Bible says you'll find Him if you seek Him with all your heart. And the shepherds found Him. And the wise men found Him. And my friend, you'll find Him if you just set aside everything else. And if you're wise to me, you'll find the Saviour. We've noticed there was a division in his life. We'll come back to that. There was a division in his death, wasn't there? There was a massive division amongst the population of Jerusalem 2,000 years ago at the death of Christ. There was a massive division. In fact, it really was the majority of the population against a few. There was a few people that took sides with Jesus at the cross. A few women. And there was maybe a few men to be lingering somewhere in the shadows. But the vast majority of the people of Jerusalem said no to Him that night. They rejected Him. They despised Him. They said, no, there was a drunken mob there. As the Bible says that He was the song of the drunkard. There was a drunken mob there. There was a whole crowd of self-righteous religious bigots there. The Jews. They hated Him. There was these hard-hearted, callous soldiers whose very hands were stained with his blood. And there was a vast multitude of folks that just couldn't care less. And they're all joined together, all amalgamated, and passing a vote against Christ. And they've said, away with them. Away with them. Away with them. There was a division. And the majority said no. And only a few women folks and a few men stood beside the cross and they said, we'll say yes. We'll say yes. My friend, the big question tonight is this. What are you going to say? Are you going to say yes or no to Jesus tonight? This one that Stuart's been telling us about. the one who proved, not only by what he said, but how he acted and what he did, he proved who he was. He proved that he's the Son of God. The one who is able to give life. The one who can answer all your hard questions. The one who meets every need. My friend, people listened to him and people watched him. And people thought about him. And at the end of the day, they said no to him. And there's folks in here tonight, and you've been here maybe nearly every night. And you've heard about Jesus. You've listened to the message and you've thought about it. But the big question tonight is, what are you going to do with him? Are you going to say yes to him? Are you going to say no to him? And the majority said no. The majority said no. Crucify him. Crucify him. Do you think the majority were right 2,000 years ago when they nailed Christ to the cross? Do you think they were right? Do you think that was the right decision to make, to say no to him? I don't think there's a single person in this hall who thinks that was the right decision that night. I don't think there's one person in here that thinks the crowd was right. But I want to say this, if you've never trusted him as your Saviour, if you're not prepared to take a public stand for Christ tonight and say, I'm a believer in him, I'm trusting in him, he's my Lord and Saviour, if you're not prepared to do that tonight, then I want to tell you, you're really saying in your heart they were right. Because you're either standing in one or two of these little, these crowds, you're either standing with a multitude, with a majority, and you're saying no to Jesus, or you're standing in that wee band of disciples, and you're saying, I'm putting my hand up, I'm saying yes to him. There's no middle ground, you know. And if you've never yet trusted Jesus Christ as your Saviour, if you've never come to him as a poor, guilty sinner and asked him to cleanse you from your sin and make you fit for heaven, and my friend, come into your life, then I want to tell you, you're saying no to him tonight. And you're taking sides with the majority that crucified him at Calvary. There was a division at Calvary. There was a division at his death. There was also a division at his resurrection as well. You see, the disciples were gathered in a room, an upper room in Jerusalem. And you know, they were gathered there on the Sunday morning or the Sabbath morning or the first day of the week or the Sunday morning. And the Lord Jesus appeared in their midst and they saw him alive from the dead. Well, of course, he said that was going to happen, didn't he? He says, I have power to lay it down, I have power to take it up again. I'm going to rise again. He told them that time and time again. And yet they were surprised. Why are we surprised when Jesus does what he says he'll do? And suddenly there he was in their midst. And you know, you can imagine the buzz they got that day, eh? And some people spend their life looking for buzzes, looking for highs, eh? I tell you, there's a buzz that day, eh? Suddenly the man that they thought was finished was alive. And there he was in their midst and he says, peace, I've got a message of peace. I want to speak peace into your troubled heart. That's what the Lord Jesus wants to do tonight. He wants to speak peace into your troubled heart, into your lonely heart. He wants to take away your cares, your anxieties, your burdens. He wants to take away your guilt. He wants to take away your shame. He wants to take away your sin. He wants to give the very peace of God into your soul. And not only was there a buzz that Sunday morning, but I tell you, there was a buzz in their heart right through the week. We've seen the Lord. We've seen the Lord. We've seen the Lord. Do you ever wonder why Christians get excited? Well, some Christians get excited. I don't know why every Christian doesn't get excited. But, you know, Christianity is something you get excited about. Here were men in Jerusalem and they had seen him alive from the dead, just as he said would happen. And they'd seen him and they'd experienced him and they'd touched him and they'd heard him. And he'd given them peace. And they said, we've seen him. Do you sometimes wonder what makes a Christian tick? You know, where did they get that joy? Where did they get that assurance? Where did they get that peace? Where did they get that life that they live? It's all sourced in him. They've seen him. They've come to know him. They've come to trust him. My friend, you can come to know him tonight. You can come to trust him. You can know that joy. You can know that peace. You can know that forgiveness. But there was one man and he says, unless I see, I'm not going to believe. You see, there was a wee bit of division and all the disciples, apart from Thomas, you know, they're rejoicing. They've seen him. And Thomas says, oh, I said, unless I see, I'm not going to believe. And maybe that's just where you are tonight. And you've seen members of your family and friends and people in the community. And you've seen the change that Christ has made in their life. You've seen the joy. You've seen the peace in their face. You've seen the glow in their countenance. You've seen the change in their life. And you've heard their testimony. They've told you what happened. And you're saying, well, unless I see, I'm not going to believe. I need something more than that. And you know, the Lord Jesus in His wonderful grace, He gave Thomas more than that. And the next Sunday morning, they're there again. In the same room. And the Lord comes again and He says to Peter, Peter, look at my hands. Look at my side. Just put your finger in there. Just put your hand in there. Don't be faithless, but believe. When He saw these nail prints and that spear wound, He just fell on His face and He says, my Lord, my Lord and my God. The Lord says to him, Thomas, He says, blessed are those that have seen and believed. But He says, there's a far greater blessing than those that haven't seen and yet have believed. My friend, you're not going to see Christ today. He's not going to appear here in a vision. You're not going to see His nail prints. You're not going to see His spear wound. But my friend, He's asking you to believe. He's asking you just to put your faith in Him, even though you don't see Him. Well, Thomas got a blessing that day. My friend, you could get a greater blessing than He. By just believing that Christ is who He says He is. That Christ is what He said He is. And that Christ did what He said He would do. Who is He? He's the Son of God. What is He? He's absolutely sinless. What did He do? He offered His sinless life up on that cross. He laid it down in sacrifice for you and me on the cross. And He's asking you to believe that, isn't He? He's asking you just to trust Him. Just to trust Him. Is He no worthy of your trust, isn't He? Eh? Is He no worthy of your trust? My friend, surely somebody that loved you enough to die for you is worthy of you trusting. He's hardly going to let you down. If He cared for you, if He loved you so much that He went to a cross for you, He's not going to let you down. He's certainly not going to let you down. And there was a division even in His resurrection. There was those that believed, and there was poor old Thomas that didn't believe until he got that revelation of Christ. Or that you might believe, didn't he? That you might just believe who Christ is and what Christ is and what Christ did upon the cross for you. A guilty sinner. And there's a division here tonight as well, isn't there? There's a division in this present society about Christ. It's amazing, we did mention just in passing the amalgamation of people that were at the cross. A drunken mob, self-righteous religious bigots, and cruel Roman soldiers, and an apathetic mob, and yet they're all joined together in opposition to Christ. Still the same today, isn't it? You go down to the pub and, you know, you'll discover there's folks there in all their drunkenness and they're opposed to Christ. And you'll go to certain religious establishments and people with all their self-righteousness, and you'll discover there's a sense in which they're in opposition to Christ. They don't teach the gospel as it's presented in the book. It's a gospel of religion. It's a gospel of works. It's a gospel of self-effort that they preach. It's not a gospel that tells us that we need to depend alone in the blood of Christ for salvation. And there's just a whole mass of apathetic people around us in the world tonight. People that just couldn't care less. People that are just living for the moment, and they're all amalgamated and they're all joined together in opposition to Christ. But praise God here and there, and you come not yet. And in come not in Auchin Leg and scattered throughout Ayrshire and throughout the world. Praise God, there are individuals here and there that have come to believe that Christ is who He said He is. He's the Son of God. He is what He said He was, sinless and pure and holy. And He did what He said He would do. He laid down His life and He took it up again. Laid it down on account of our sin. Took it up in glorious resurrection power and glory. And He's alive. And praise God, being alive, He's able to save to the very uttermost all those that will come to God by Him. My friend, I want to ask you, where do you take your place tonight in relation to the person of the Lord Jesus? Are you among those that are just couldn't care less about Him? Or I wonder, are you among those that put their trust in Him? Those that have believed in Him. Those that have claimed Him as their Lord and Master. Where are you in relation to Christ today? There's going to be another division in relation to Christ, because among the many things that the Lord Jesus said in John's Gospel, He said, I'm going away, but I'm coming back again. Coming back again. It's coming back. It's coming back. Now, people might scoff at that idea, but I suppose it was people scoffed at the idea that He would ever come at all. But He came. And just as surely as He came, He's going to come again. And when Jesus Christ comes, there's going to be a massive division about him. You see, when the Lord Jesus Christ comes, there's going to be people that are going to be taken out of this world, taken to heaven. And there's others that are going to be left in this world. And they're going to be left ultimately for judgment in hell, in a lake of fire. There's going to be a massive division in the world someday. Any day. Perhaps this day. You see, the Bible does tell us quite a wee bit about the coming of the Lord Jesus, but one thing it doesn't tell us, it doesn't tell us when it's going to happen. It doesn't tell us when it's going to happen. There may be reasons for that, but the reality is it could just happen at any time. It could happen right now. He's coming for his own. That's a beautiful expression. We're thinking about that this morning. His own. Those that belong to him. You know, it's wonderful when you've got something that you can just say, that's mine. That's mine. The Lord Jesus Christ has got a group of people and you come up tonight. And he says, they're mine. They're mine. And there's others in the whole length and breadth of East Ayrshire, and there's even more in Scotland, and there's even more in the UK, and throughout the world, there's multitudes, billions, millions. And he says, they're all mine. They're mine. They belong to me. They've trusted me. And one day I'm coming for them. I'm going to take them out of this world and I'm going to take them to that place I've prepared for them in heaven. What a prospect. My friend, that's, I tell you, my heart beats a wee bit faster than I think about that. Not just because I long to be out of this body of, you know, sort of decay glasses. My first time for in my whole lifetime, I have to wear glasses, 24, no 24 hours a day, but whatever. If the evidence of decay, deterioration in the old body, it's a sign of, well, for me, it's a sign of old age. And, you know, we've all got, I mean, you know, I don't want just the Lord to come for me just to be released from this body of deterioration. And just to be away from this world of sin. But the thing that really thrills me when I think of the coming of the Lord is the fact that I'm going to see the man that loved me. And loved me so much that he died for me on the cross at Calvary. What a moment. To see the Saviour face to face with Christ, my Saviour, face to face. What will it be when with rapture I behold him, Jesus Christ, who died for me? I can almost hear his footfall on the threshold of the door. And my heart is longing to be with him evermore. My friend, I want to ask you, is your heart longing for his coming tonight? He's coming for his own. Are you among his own tonight? Are you his? One of his sheep that he talks about in John 10. Has there been that time where you put your trust in him? My friend, if you're not trusting in Jesus Christ, if he's to come tonight, you would be among those who'd be left. Left for judgment. And some of the friends that you've got to know over the weeks that have done so much for you, and have cared for you, and have prayed for you, and have preached to you, will be gone. You'll be left. And some of your family members that know the Saviour and have pleaded with you to trust them and have shown an interest in your soul, they'll be gone and you'll be left. A division because of Christ. My friend, I want to tell you, you don't need to be left when he comes. You can be among those that go. If tonight you're like the wise men and you're like the shepherds, and you seek him tonight with all your heart and with all your soul. The whole of eternity is going to be divided because of Christ. Folks in heaven and folks in hell. And they're there because of their attitude towards Jesus Christ. Those who've accepted that he's the Son of God. Those who've believed that he was sinless and pure and holy. And that he laid down that sinless life on account of their sin at the cross. And he was raised from the dead. Those who've believed his word. Those who have trusted him and relied entirely on his work on the cross. They'll be in heaven for eternity. And those that have never done that, regardless of how good they lived down here, my friend, they'll be in hell. They'll be in hell. And the whole of the population of humanity is going to be divided ultimately into two destinations, and divided over the person of Christ. I'm just going to finish there, innit? I would like to have gone back and talked about some of these expressions that we read about in John 7 and John 9 and John 10, but I just want to ask you, Denny. I used to go to a wee hall down in Kilmarnock, and above the platform of these words, what think you of Christ? That's the question I'm asking, Denny. What do you think about Christ? Do you think he is who he says he was? The Son of God? The Christ, the Messiah? The Anointed One? The Sent One? Do you believe that he was what he claimed to be, sinless, pure and holy? Do you believe that he did what he said he would do, that he actually laid down his life? Nobody else can do that. That was unique. There was nobody else could say, listen, I'm going to lay down my life, I'm going to take it up again. Only Christ could make that claim, and only Christ fulfilled it. Do you believe that? Do you believe that his life was a sacrifice for you? Not only did he lay it down, but he took it up again in glorious resurrection. He's alive and alive forever. My friend, do you believe in him? Do you trust him in him? Are you among his own that are awaiting his coming? Let's just pray. Our Father, we just bow quietly and humbly and solemnly at the end of this meeting, and you're the God that knows every heart. It's easier, God, to put on a front. It's easier, God, just to come about meetings and just to pretend that we're just one of the crowd and we just kind of fit in, our God, to the atmosphere of things. But our God, thou knowest the heart. Thou knowest those that are dying tonight. And we just pray that those who have never yet come to that personal saving faith in the Lord Jesus, that they would come there tonight. That they would realise that they really need Christ. And that without him they're lost. That without him they're bound for that lost eternity. And we pray that tonight, our God, they would make that momentous decision just to turn to him and just to trust in him as Saviour and Lord. Just grant, our God, that they would make it impossible for anyone to leave this building without Christ tonight. Grant, our God, that there might not just be a majority of Christians in here tonight, but grant, our God, that there might be a total and absolute and complete oneness in every heart, our God, here tonight, that we might be totally and utterly one in our faith and our trust in the Lord Jesus. Children and adults, older folks, our God, we pray that each and every one tonight might just be simply trusting in the one and only Saviour that thou hast provided for sinners, thy Son, thy lovely Son, the Lord Jesus. We thank thee for him. We anticipate his coming. May we live in the light of it as we ask it in his name. The meeting is finished. We do thank you for coming. And just remind you of the meeting again tomorrow night at 8 o'clock. And I'm sure Stuart and Robert will be delighted to see you back again. If there's any questions.